You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hi, welcome back to the show. Remember the 5 o'clock hour, giving away $250, and you could do that on DCR as well. In the 6 o'clock and the 7 o'clock in the morning hour, then in the 2 o'clock hour with us, and again in the 5 o'clock hour. This Islanders preview with Rick DiPietro is brought to you by Coors Light. Coors Light, made to chill. Rick, how are you, my friend?
No, I'm doing fantastic, Michael. How are you doing? I hope you had you guys had great Father's Days.
It was good. How about yours?
Mine was great. Kids made me some nice gifts. We had a They got me an ice cream cake with the chocolate crunchy, so all good.
Ooh, okay, nice. made you some nice gifts. Now, did your beautiful wife give you any gifts?
She did. Yeah, she did. I got she got me a couple nice new hats, couple T-shirts, maybe a beautiful. Got me a beautiful frame picture of the kids for the home office.
No gorgeous. Picture of the caster?
No, she doesn't. She already realizes I already have enough pictures of the caster. Like sometimes, I mean, you guys are talking about sometimes when the caster's going number two, I'll just FaceTime him just to make sure he's not by himself.
Just make sure everything comes out okay.
Yeah, exactly right. If he needs any help, a spot or whatever, I'm there. Spotter.
Rick, Peter, you don't understand one thing. You know the gift she gave Rick? The three children. Those are the gifts she gave him.
That's not how Father's Day is supposed to work.
Yeah, that's how it works.
No, it's not.
There's no greater gift that she could give him. Am I right, Rick?
No, listen, Peter will experience this at some point. Like, after watching what your wife does for you,
right,
giving birth to your children, every day should be Mother's Day. There shouldn't even be like Father's Day. Okay, that's cool. We get one day every single day. Because not one man would sign up.
But that's
once, not multiple times.
But that's why this works this way, is that in theory, they get 364 and dad gets one. So the world has decided that, listen, I'm the man who came up with the phrase father's mother of Jays. We know that's true. But on this specific day, and I've done extensive research on this for many, many years, it seems that fathers like to get at least one nice gift for them, which it sounds like you did.
I did. I got a gorgeous gift. Gorgeous gift. I wonder, is it possible? You could probably, I mean, I know you can pay for the girlfriend experience. Can you pay for like a Father's Day experience? Is that possible?
Boy, interesting.
But Don, have you ever heard a weirder, more fraudulent take from Michael that he comes with? The gift is the children? What is he talking about?
He must have seen Jody turn the radio on.
Is that?
So, and that's fine. You know, I forgot to tell you, one of the gifts I got from Nancy was the Andrew McCarthy autobiography.
Ooh!
So I can't wait to read that after the K book, which I'm almost finished with.
All right, before we get to the...
I don't understand it. Mike, let me ask you a question quickly. And I don't want to pry. I heard Don earlier, a lot of reading gets done on the toilet. I mean, we don't have, like, serious damage because of all the reading you do on the toilet.
That's a great point. It is dangerous, Don.
I told him this. He doesn't listen to me.
Well, I work it out. I did.
Well, you know you do.
Okay.
Has there been damage? Yes. I mean, have I figured it out? Have I learned my lesson? Absolutely.
Now, I'm glad, Rick, that there's damage in the relationship between you and Dave. So what drove you to make these changes in your profile pic to really pick on Dave's body type?
Well, no, he mocked me. I mean, he spent all this time mocking me. And you know, I can't believe you don't know how to change your avatar. I mean, you've had that avatar. It's you looking like Jesus. Like, why don't you change this thing? And I said, listen, I don't know how to change it. So finally I figured it out because he challenged me to figure it out. So I put me and you with the, you know, in support of the shirt, BFFs. And, of course, that sent him off the deep end because he's jealous of our relationship. This is ridiculous. All you do is kiss Michael's you-know-what. So I said, you know what? That's fine. All right. Then I'm going to change it again. So initially I did him with the Islanders jersey on. Number one fan saying yes, yes, yes.
Yep.
And he gave me an ultimatum. He said, listen, if this thing's not down by, you know, by showtime on Monday, there's going to be retaliation. So he just said I had to change it. Initially, he just said I had to change it. So I said, okay, I'll change it. He didn't tell me what I had to change it to. And that's when you got the second version with him in the banana hammock.
But how'd you get? But how did you get a thinner version of him? Because that looks a lot thinner than what he really is.
I know, and I didn't realize he was so manscaped. Like usually, when I've seen him without a shirt on, we have a lot more skin tags, a lot more hair. But he's got a beautiful bosom in that picture, doesn't he? Gorgeous.
He really does.
Peter, follow me. He doesn't know how to change the avatar on his Twitter, but now all of a sudden he can Photoshop like nobody's business.
That's a really, you know what? It's one of the best points you've ever made on the history of the in the history of the show.
He's a quick learner. Quick learner.
I got all this free time. The show ends at 8 a.m. I have all this extra free time now to do some to learn some things.
Look at you.
All right, so the series is tied at 2 apiece, and now it shifts back to Tampa Bay tonight. Game 5 is tonight. Tell me about that goal that everybody's talking about. As a former player, did you find it an amazing goal?
Or non-goal.
Or non-goal.
Non-goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be, especially if the Islanders go on to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, that you're talking about a must. I know, Michael, Captain Little Man, you don't love them. You know, must wins until it's a must win, but going down 3-1 headed back to Tampa, that was a must win for the Islanders. That will be one of, if they win the Cup, one of the most iconic plays you'll see. So, I mean, as a goalie, I mean, I got tweets like, why is Varlamov all the way out of his crease like that? Well, he knows exactly how much time is left on the clock. So what he wants to do is make sure he gets out as far as he can to cut down McDonough's angle. Now, McDonough makes an unbelievable play to go, you know, Denny Savard-style spinorama.
Yeah.
And what the beauty of that play is that Pulak is actually the one that turns the puck over because he fans on the rim. So you're seeing the play here. He fans on the rim. And now Kucherov, good play in front. The beauty of this play is how patient Pulak is in front of the net. Because most guys are like, uh-oh, I got to get in front of the net to block this thing, and we'll just dive. Not really paying attention to his, what portion of the net they're taking away. But he kind of times it perfectly where he waits for it, and then goes down. And, I mean, he saved the series is what he did. I mean, God forbid this thing goes into overtime. You had a 3-goal lead going into the third period, and then seconds left, you blow this game. I don't know how you recover for overtime.
Well, it's scary because when you look at the two wins the Islanders have had, they've had to hold on for dear life at the end of the game. And it's not so much losing confidence in the goaltending or the defense. It's just not being able to get those insurance goals. Now, they had the 3-0 lead going into the third, but you see how quickly the Lightning can strike, no pun intended. What can this team do to generate more offense? 1 for 11 on the power play. Is there anything that Barry can do, shifting lines, something to generate a little bit more offense instead of just scoring 2 or 3 and expecting to hang on at the end of the game?
Yeah, I think you saw that. I think the change he made, which I'm sure you'll see again in Game 5, is pushing Palmieri up with Barzal and Eberle. Komarov, listen, he does the job of physicality. He's willing to do all the dirty work that you need. But as far as, having the ability to finish, generate more offense, Palmieri's that guy. Power play, as good as it was against Boston, has obviously struggled, but they've done a good job, Donnie, against Tampa in their power play. I mean, Tampa's power play is what really separated them in the first two series. I mean, it was going at almost 42%. The Islanders they're one of the least penalized teams in the National Hockey League, but you hit on it. I mean, the scary part about Tampa is, you look up, boom, before you know it. I mean, he scores every single game. They can score fast. And, the Islanders got way too passive in the third period, and I thought Barry did a great job of calling that timeout and kind of getting everybody straightened out and back to more of a aggressive Islander kind of hockey.
And just listening to you and Don go back and forth on this, it just seems like every single win for the Islanders has been like a death march. It's they've extended every single thing that they have. So Rick, do you see them winning 2 of the next 3 games against a team this good?
They're going to have their hands full. I mean, they really are. I thought they made some nice adjustments in this game. I think you saw in Game 3, it was almost like the Lightning out Islanders, the Islanders. It was suffocating, blocking shots and everything else. And you saw, those goals were finding a way to get pucks through with traffic in front and rebounds. This team doesn't lose back-to-back games in the postseason. So, going into tonight, it's going to be a tall task. But, I mean, this is who they've been, they're resilient. They bounce back. They play physical. They play tough. They make you earn everything you get. But, in all honesty, if Varlamov continues to make the big saves that he's making, and, they can, like Donnie mentioned, generate a little bit more offense. I mean, I think they've done enough, but Vasilevskiy's obviously one of the best in the league. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's an opportunity here to win this series.
Now, since getting swept by Columbus a couple of years ago, they've won 11 straight games after a loss. So, yeah, the resiliency that Tampa shows is tremendous. So you hope that maybe the worm turns tonight, because this is – now, can they go back and they force a game seven? But it's just playing that fire. When I hear, oh, well, they did it against Pittsburgh, they did it against Boston, that's great. That shows you can come back from 2-1 down, Rick. But this Lightning team looks like it's just on a different level. You it's going to be so difficult to do, and to not take the 3-2 series lead back and expect to be able to win a 6 and a 7 in a row, that's a lot of heavy lifting, even for this team.
Yeah, it's a ton. I mean, those teams are good. Pittsburgh is great, and then Boston is a really good team. But you're talking about, you know, the defending Stanley Cup champions who have, I mean, top to bottom. I mean, they roll four great lines. They got, you know, some of the best players in the league. They got the best goalie in the league. And, I mean, you saw that graphic you guys just put up on the screen. They don't lose back-to-back games. They just don't. It hasn't happened. So the Islanders have to, you know, go tonight and do something that hasn't happened over the last couple of years with this Tampa team. But the one thing I will always say about the Islanders is you know exactly what to expect every time they go out and play. And it's going to be – I mean, they're going to make it difficult. They're going to make Tampa earn it. And I think the big thing for the Islanders is score that first goal. I mean, it really is. I mean, you saw it during the regular season. Like, the first goal for the Islanders and the way they want to play is huge. And it would be best-case scenario to go into Tampa because the crowd is going to be nuts tonight – is try to get one early and shut that crowd down a little bit.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Now, Cassie's side of the family still rooting for Tampa Bay. Will they be at the game tonight?
Michael, that side of the family right now, until the series is over, is dead to me for what they're doing.
I love it. That's what I want to hear from you.
See, that sounds like something Kay would say.
That's why we get along.
This is why we love each other. So I go. So I'm shutting everything off to go to bed last night, and I look out the front door to just make sure we don't have any packages I have to take in. And of course, there's something sitting there, and I'm like, oh God, Cassie, can we enough with the packages, please? So I go out and grab it. No, it's not from Cassie. It's from my in-laws in Tampa. So I look at where it's from. It's them, but then it says Fanatics. I'm like, these SOBs. I know exactly what they did. So I opened it. It's Tampa onesies. It's Tampa T-shirts. It's all Tampa Bay Lightning stuff for the kids. Oh yeah. They're trying to divide my house.
Are they aware of? Can I ask a personal question?
Oh yeah.
Did Cassie come from a good financial situation? She must have.
No, they were. Yeah, my dad's a doc. Has actually worked on Kester. He's a chiropractor.
Fixed my neck.
Got it. So she. I was going to say, because if she didn't come from a lot of money, the only team they could ever root for would be the Islanders because of what that wonderful organization has done for the family. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the vacations I take, yeah, oh, yeah. They're
exactly. I'm sure they've all enjoyed fruits of the Islanders' efforts before.
Oh, many, many fruits, Peter.
Put your foot down, Rick. Say if anyone even mentions the word Tampa Bay. By the way, if there's a lightning storm outside, I want them to come up with a new way to describe it. That word should never be used in your house again.
Yeah, see, this is what I need. Maybe I'll have you talk to them so I don't get in trouble with my mother-in-law. Maybe I'll have you do it.
Do me a favor. Send me your father-in-law's phone number and photocopy your last pay stub from the Islanders.
Wow.
I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the rest.
Speaking of fruits, because we are so close, it's a big game tonight, which you'll be watching on your big screen. So after the little children go to bed, will you strip down and watch it naked?
Good point.
I was thinking about it. Not. Yeah. I may be. I mean, possible. I did some manscaping, so I'm in pretty good shape. See how the wifey feels about it. She wants to have a little extracurriculars during intermissions. We'll see.
Oh, wow. Can you do that? Oh, is that allowed? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is, you know, sometimes me on day before a game, you kind of just have to, you know, get the poison out a little bit, make sure your mind is clear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have an old Islander jersey you could throw over, you know?
This is starting to get weird, Michael.
Yeah, now we're talking. Maybe I throw a – no, we didn't – here's the thing, though, Michael. The Islanders I played for, we didn't actually even get game-worn jerseys because they did a deal, so we have to pay for our own. So I don't even know if I had a game-worn jersey. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is the stuff, Michael, that had to be overcome playing
Michael,
for that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get – it's the NHL. It's awesome, right? So I get drafted. Great. I get to the practice facility. Okay, let's hit the gym up. You have to go outside of the practice rink to a trailer in the parking lot that had weights in the trailer. That's where the gym was.
Is this the guy, when he owned the team, he didn't really have any money? Was that guy?
No, he was done. This was even when Charles initially, like it took a minute for us to kind of, get things figured out.
Right.
And then here was another good one is, like, we'd go on the road and, I was friendly with equipment managers and everything else, and guys would be walking around on the visiting team, beautiful hoodies. They had sneakers. And I'm like, I don't get sneakers. We don't have any. Can we at least get some hoodies? So finally they're like, okay, we'll get you guys some hoodies. Yeah, nice Islanders hoodies with our numbers on them. It was great. So we have the lockout. So we're locked out, and I go to the practice rink. I'm like, I'll go pick up my stuff, my workout stuff, get my hoodie and everything else. I go into my locker. There's no hoodie. So I said, where did our stuff go? Oh, that stuff, that's out in the pro shop where we're selling it.
Wow.
They sold our hoodies.
This is unfortunate.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They've come a long way with Lou. Baby. I don't think Lou would do that.
No. Not even know. Lou has, the people that work in the practice rink are scared of Lou. Like, he sees everything. Like, he knows everything that's going on.
He has a hand in everything that organization or any organization he runs does. How much did you get to know Robin Leonard?
Not much. Not much at all. I heard he was a good teammate. I mean, obviously he had some stuff going on that he's
I thought last night was terrific. I mean, DeBoer going to him for that big game four last night, and he played tremendous.
Did you see what he said, too? Oh, and the people in Long Island. I think he actually got a Long Island tattoo on his neck because he loved it here so much. Hey, this is a perfect example of how different today's athletes are. Like, when I played, especially if it's playoffs, it's like I'm not talking to anybody. I don't want to look at my phone. He actually said after the game that he got to the rink a couple hours early just so he could look at Twitter to read all the haters before he played.
I like that. I like that.
That's crazy. That's something you would do.
List. Yeah.
I could see you doing something like that.
Well, enjoy the game tonight. And, if you want to FaceTime, I'm here for you.
All right. I can't wait. Let's do it.
Okay. Enjoy, Rick. And you can hear Rick break down the game tomorrow morning from 5 to 8 on DCR. DCR. The Islanders, by the way, have sold out their 15,000 season ticket allotment for next year's new arena,
wow,
which is 17,000 total. So they're leaving 2,000, I guess, for game sale, but 15,000 a game.
Wow, that's pretty good. Awesome.
I'm telling you, it's such an underrated fan base because, again, they look what they've went through.
Gone through.
Exactly.
Both.
But look what they have gone through. Like what Rick was talking about. And that's after Charles Wong had bought the team. Like, that's how much damage had been done with the Spano garbage and not having any money and the team threatening to leave. And listen, the Coliseum is great from an atmosphere standpoint, but it's not generating a lot of money. When you got a building that holds like less than 15,000 people and it was difficult to get to and all that, and it was really tough. And now they've got a brand new building that they're going to have sold out, looks like, every single night. And a team that can compete for the Stanley Cup. It's pretty great.
It's a perfect timing for them. But do you think somewhere in Toronto, a young man sleeping on his maple leaf sheets is sorry that he left?
I think, listen, it's easy to say he feels bad because he would have been a part of this. Imagine if they had him. I mean, they've been better without him.
Right.
But how do you say that somebody didn't go out there and, score 40 goals for you wouldn't be helping right now in the postseason? And if he doesn't get hurt in game one against Montreal, Michael, I think Toronto probably finds a way to win that series. Maybe they're still alive in this thing. Who knows? But to say that he knew this was coming, he probably didn't. But he had to know things were going to get better. I just think he really wanted to go home. So, no, I don't think he does.
But a lot of things I read, Don, is that he was very upset with, the nomadic existence of the Islanders. Brooklyn. Coliseum splitting.
No, that was a part. I think his wife had a bigger problem with it than he did. But that was an issue. Now, Lou said they're going to have the building done. And if anybody knows Lou, when he says something that he's going to do it, he does it. But you could understand from his perspective, it stunk. Practicing out on Long Island, going to Brooklyn, splitting time between Brooklyn and the Coliseum. It was a tough existence, but I think deep down he just wanted to go home. He wanted to go and play for the team that he rooted for, because he had to know things were going to get better with the Islanders when Lou took over.
Speaking of getting better, did you notice, Peter, yesterday Madison Square Garden's first concert?
I heard.
Foo Fighters.
Yeah, and you
with
see what happened
Dave
during
Chappelle.
The show? Singing.
Freak.
Yeah. Creep.
Creep.
Loser. You freak. Oh, he sung the Don song?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Don did it better, but.
I didn't hear Chappelle.
Yeah, he was good, though. He was very good.
I would have done Hero if I'm Chappelle. Or Monkey Wrench.
Now you're telling Chappelle what to sing.
Well, it wasn't even a Foo Fighters song he sang.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would have picked a Foo Fighters song. Hero's an iconic song.
Interesting.
You like Hero, Don, or think it's cheesy?
No, I like all their stuff. I think he's phenomenal. What he did as a drummer in Nirvana and then fronting his own band that has become a super group. I mean, they sold out Wembley.
Yeah, they're the real deal.
Then Nirvana like started a whole generation of music and grunge and everything, but from a body of work, the Foo Fighters are better.
Wow, Don, don't start this now.
And then Radio City opened up this weekend, and Chappelle opened that with the documentary about the comedy that, you know, he brought to his hometown in Ohio.
Oh, it was a doc about his COVID
comedy shows.
I thought he was from D.C.
I think he was born in D.C. and then he moved to this small town in Ohio.
Yeah, he grew up in the D.C. area. Now he's been in Ohio for years.
I'll take a brief time out, take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.